Trust your heart, let your voice shine through. Stand up bold and stand up true. Trust your heart and let your voice shine through. Breathe for today and take it all in. Capture the good, my sweet little queen. Don't worry about the future, focus on the moment. Let's make memories and be happy in the present. And stand up bold and stand up true. Trust your heart and let your voice shine through. Stand up bold and stand up true. Trust your heart and let your voice shine through.
There's something very special happening in Cheshire and Merseyside involving babies and music. It's the Lullaby Project, which has captured hearts and minds and the backing of health and care leaders. I'm Caroline Kenyon, and I had the privilege of hosting an event which brought together the creators of the Lullaby Project at New York's Carnegie Hall, with those now delivering and enjoying the Lullaby Project in our region. We recorded the event and split it into two podcasts. Part one starts with Jo Ward, the powerhouse behind Cheshire and Merseyside Baby Week, whose enthusiasm and energy in making connections across the world is where it all began.
A really warm welcome to everyone this afternoon who's made the time to join us. So welcome to Baby Week Cheshire and Merseyside. We've got a really exciting lullaby session this afternoon to really share our journey from Baby Week 1 to Baby Week 2 this year. The story really extends beyond Baby Week back to the beginning of the pandemic, when as a service area improving me, which is the Women's Health and Maternity Partnership, was looking at how do we respond to some of the collateral damage in terms of the pandemic. So the loneliness, the isolation, the increase in perinatal mental health issues for our women who were in pregnancy or new mums. And we developed a task and finish group to look at a whole range of interventions, which were both national. And this is an example of our international collaboration. We reached out to Carnegie Hall in 2020. It doesn't feel that long ago, but it is nearly 18 months ago. To ask about some of the solutions that were being created in the American context in relation to challenges we all shared. And some of those issues were very much around maternal mortality, a failure of the NHS to engage early enough in terms of resolving issues that were basically preventable if only we could be in conversation with our mums earlier and we could develop trust. And so through those early conversations, the Lullaby Project was born. And that conversation also extended to our key partnership with Live Music Now, who were very much part of the task force and the front end of the Lullaby Project to make things that are truly wonderful happen, which you'll get to see later. But just something very, very quickly about Baby Week. So when we started our Baby Week journey last year, we were under the impression that Baby Week was something that had been brought here from our Leeds partners who'd been on a Winston Churchill fellowship to Brazil, where they were dealing with equally significant issues around maternal mortality and a lack of early years investment. But actually, this year we discovered that Baby Week originated in 1917, and it was an initiative which really resonates with where we're at today. It was about a group of women from England reaching out to colleagues in the US, Australia and New Zealand to address some of the issues for a call for welfare services for women and children. It was triggered in the UK by the fact that in 1917, while we were in the thick of the First World War, every hour in 1917, 9 soldiers were dying on the front line. If you then fast forwarded to the home front, every hour, 12 babies were dying. So what we had was the beginning of a movement to address that infant mortality and with it, broader welfare call to arms in terms of systemic changes that needed to happen to ensure the best start for all babies. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to our chair for today, Caroline Kenyon from the Innovation Agency, who's the Director of Comms, who will very ably take us through a really exciting programme for the afternoon.
Thanks, Jo. I'm really privileged to be here. This is such a lovely project. I know you've been doing some wonderful things during Baby Week already. So I'm looking forward to hearing about what's been happening in the last year since we had our first Baby Week and more about Lullaby Project. And isn't it great that we're going to hear from the creators of the Lullaby Project beaming in from Carnegie Hall, which is just amazing. I'll just mention the hashtag if anyone's on social media. It's hashtag Baby Week CM21 if you want to tweet, Instagram, or dare I say TikTok. I don't know how to TikTok, but I'm sure people here, other people will. So I'm going to start by introducing Catherine McLennan, who is the Programme Director for the NHS Cheshire and Merseyside Women's Health and Maternity Programme. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Caroline, and hi to everybody else. It's a privilege, as always, to join you today.
Thanks. Catherine, tell us, your work is all about improving services for women and children's health. Can you just, for the context, tell us what are the challenges we face in Cheshire and Merseyside?
Yeah, so we've got, it's obviously a big area, and with that comes quite a lot of diversity. We have some of the most deprived areas in the country within Cheshire and Merseyside, and just kind of key challenges around health outcomes, infant and maternal mortality, key challenges in pregnancy, but also in terms of some of those kind of key outcomes for early years. We do have some of those worst outcomes in terms of the health of our young people as well. So it's not a great picture actually in the work that we've done over the years. I mean, unfortunately, we've been looking to improve services, but actually, I guess from a population health perspective, those challenges are still around today, and actually have been exacerbated during the COVID pandemic.
And so this week we've got lots of very creative arts activities, haven't we, for women and their families. How do you think those activities, that sort of activity, actually helps to meet the challenges you've just described?
I think what we've discovered is, and I obviously work with a lot of clinicians, and clinicians are on the team, but actually it's not always clinical interventions. It's not always about medicine or treatment in that sense. A lot of our challenges, when you look at them, they stem from those wider determinants of health, really, in terms of poverty, in terms of isolation, in terms of mental health, and actually. Doing things in a creative way, bringing people together. Also, language is a big barrier. And actually, we've just looked at, cause and effect of stillbirths in Cheshire and Merseyside. And actually, language is one of the key findings of that. So actually, the creative health agenda and non-clinical works, hand in hand in the community. It's about what's easy and accessible, and looking at what your community assets or interests are to get people engaged and involved and to be part and parcel of something. So for us, that's really, really important. It's all about well-being and prevention rather than actual illness and treatment.
And that is a new approach to the health service, isn't it? We're going into an integrated model with social care and NHS, and hopefully bringing together our community assets and voluntary organisations to do things differently. So you see yourselves in the vanguard of that, because you are very creative in your partnership, aren't you, the things you've done over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, looking back and looking at the legacy that we've sort of created and continuing to utilise, anything that we've created in the community, but also those key partnerships. And I think as well as we've always looked beyond what's in Cheshire and Merseyside. So, it is a great honour and privilege to obviously be working with our international friends about actually what they've been doing and what works. And I think we definitely need to do more of that. I think probably, in the health service, we sometimes, we look internally rather than actually looking externally at some of those solutions. And also, we're often quite frightened to try anything new because we're led by pathways and guidelines rather than actually looking at innovation.
That's great. Of course, it needs leadership, doesn't it, to make change like that happen and to do things differently. So I think that's a great tribute to you personally, actually. But what about the Lullaby Project? What is it about that specifically which excited you?
Well, I think in terms of obviously being introduced to the work that was already going on with Carnegie Hall in New York, but also, personally as well, as I love music, I love singing. It's something that I've done with all of my babies, I think it's actually core to development. It's something which is quite easy. It's not necessarily difficult, and you can create anything. You can create your own. So I like that creativeness and there being no barriers. And actually, what we've seen is that you can do lullabies in different languages. So actually, whatever's comfortable for you, as a mom, as a parent. And I think what's really kind of key as well is that bonding. So what we see, a lot of our issues and problems do stem from a lack of bonding, the confidence to actually really kind of get bond from the earliest opportunity with your babies. So I'm a huge advocate because I like to try different things, but also it's about actually how can you bring people together to have fun, but something that mums and children can do together.
Can you see yourself taking part if you were a new mum today?
Oh, absolutely, definitely, yes. It would be something, I'm kind of gutted, really, that, a lot of these innovations or the things that we get involved with now, I really wish that they'd have been around when I was pregnant and when I was having my children, because I think irrespective of, your background or what you do, it can be a really lonely time, actually, pregnancy and in particular that sort of postnatal period. So I think that opportunity to look after your own health and well-being and certainly mental health by being involved is absolutely key. And we're just delighted with the families who've taken part, but the feedback that we've got as well, and just the excitement to continue.
That's great. And how unusual is it for the NHS to be funding something like Lullaby Project?
Well, I suppose I don't really know of anything that happened prior to the work that we were doing, but I'm a huge advocate of community, of voluntary and other organisations working in partnership. So the work that we do is all about collaboration, and that isn't necessarily just within a health context. It's actually looking at those wider determinants, what's going on in people's lives, but also looking at who can help and reach out and make a difference. And a lot of the families in particular, where there's vulnerabilities and challenges, they wouldn't necessarily have the confidence or even know how to navigate a health system. So actually doing something in the community via different organisations is absolutely crucial. And what we find is that if we can engage in one way, then actually we can really engage in terms of those wider health messages and pathways as we kind of develop those relationships.
So we're going to be hearing from our friends at Carnegie Hall soon about what they've achieved and what's happening with them at the moment. But if you were if you were 10 years on in Cheshire and Merseyside, what do you see happening? What's your vision for how we'd have moved forward with projects like Lullaby and Baby Week?
Well, I guess one of the key things would be that it would be about celebrating, not necessarily lobbying and raising the profile of things like child poverty and health inequalities and access to services and treatment. So it would be in a much fairer, equitable place is what I would really like to see. But I guess my vision is that is that it wouldn't necessarily be looked at as an add-on or a project. It would be a key component and a key part and parcel of the services that we provide. So actually every woman and a baby could access some of the more creative elements as part and parcel of their antenatal and postnatal journey.
Great. Well, let's hope that's where we are in not too distant future. Thanks very much, Catherine. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Caroline. And yeah, as I said before, really excited to see what's going on today.
Great, thanks. So we're now going to hear from our friends at Carnegie Hall. So I'd like to talk first of all to Tiffany Ortiz. Hello, Tiffany.
Hi, Caroline. So nice to be here with everyone.
It is. It's great. It's great that you've joined us. And just remind us all, what time is it with you? Because with us, it's early evening and getting dark. But how is it with you?
It's a beautiful morning here. It's about 11 a.m.
Great. Okay. Well, good morning to you. And thank you for joining. And you're the Director of Early Childhood Programs at Carnegie Hall, where Lullaby Project was created. And you and your team have been incredibly generous in sharing all your knowledge and your resources with us in Cheshire and Merseyside. So thank you so much for that on behalf of everybody in the team. Could you start just by telling us how Lullaby began? Because it's a really fascinating story, how it began and then how it evolved. So at the very beginning, how and why did it begin?
Absolutely. So the project actually began 10 years ago in 2011 through a partnership that we had with a local public hospital here in New York City. And it really was the staff at Jacoby Medical Center who asked some really key questions to our team. What role could music play in supporting the well-being of young mothers in particular? Really thinking about communities most impacted by social and economic inequality, where there's high levels of stress. So what role could music play in supporting the well-being of these parents, as well as that bonding process between parent and child. So could music actually support that attachment? And that really was the launching point for the Lullaby Project. It really was in response to this health charge, these questions that were coming to the table from the nurses and staff at that hospital. And we thought about the power of songwriting, the power that songwriting has in opening up possibilities and thinking about the future, thinking about what parents envision for themselves and for their children. It's a space in which parents can express their hopes, their dreams, their wishes. They can really bring their language, their culture to the experience as well, something that they can share with their children. So it became this beautiful multi-generational songwriting experience that has really grown over the course of the 10 years. We now work with a range of families across healthcare settings, homeless shelters. We've worked in foster care, correctional facilities, refugee camps, and more. We run this program in New York City, but we also have national and international partners across the US, nearly 20 countries around the world who have adapted this project, including you all in the UK. So we've been really excited to see this program expand and develop in really, really rich ways to support parental well-being and that connection between parent and child.
It's a fantastic success story, isn't it? And you've been very careful to target the people who really benefit most from this, haven't you? It's not simply there for the easiest people to reach, should we say. You've deliberately been targeting the people who would benefit most. Is it very difficult to do that?
That's right. That is our goal and our focus. I think with any community-based work, there are challenges. You really have to find strong partnerships that are committed to bringing this experience to their families, to their communities. And so we really believe in the power of strong relationship building, forming really strong alliances with community members, and thinking about all of the rich possibilities in which we can adapt this program. It is very flexible, and it's intentionally so that we can really tailor it to the specific needs of families and communities that we are working with.
Can you explain what goes on with women in the moment when they're taking part in Lullaby? I know we are going to hear from colleagues locally, like from Live Music Now, about the first pilot project, and from Denny, who's been evaluating your work. But can you tell us what happens to women, what goes on when they take part in Lullaby, how it helps them in the moment, and then the ongoing impact on their lives?
Sure. Well, pre-pandemic, we were usually sending musicians out to these different community locations, and they would sit side by side with a parent. Oftentimes, the parent would share a little bit about who they are, about who their children are, or if they're expecting, what they're hoping for. We have a journal that we typically use with families that has some simple prompts. So, what are your hopes? What are your dreams? Many cases, parents are writing a letter to their child. A letter that expresses their loving wishes, that expresses what they hope for their children in the future. So imagine your child finds this letter or finds this song in 20 years. What is your message to them? So many families start with this letter, and that then gets crafted into lyrics. And the parents are really steering the wheel here. They are commenting on what the lyrics should be, what the melody should sound like. Ultimately, we want families to walk away with a recording of their song that they can use and sing. So we encourage parents to really practice singing this in playful ways, thinking about the context in which they might use this song, whether it's at bedtime, playtime, sometimes bath time or meal time. So thinking about ways in which they're really folding music and already folding music into their lives, and how can they integrate lullaby? So we've heard from families post the project who've reconnected with us saying, yes, I use this song during mealtime, or now my son is 3 years old. We wrote this song 2 years ago and he sings this song when he goes to school so that he doesn't miss us. Stories like that that are just really beautiful to hear and experience.
That's so lovely. And what about during the pandemic then? You're saying that the woman and the musician would be sitting down together. So how did you manage during the lockdowns?
Yeah, so we know that during the pandemic, particularly our Black, Brown communities were disproportionately affected by the pandemic. And these were the communities that we were largely serving, those that were socially and economically impacted by the pandemic. And we had to find ways to really tailor the project to meet families where they were. Obviously, technology was needed, but we pivoted very quickly to the digital sphere. So offering free lullaby writing sessions online, working one-on-one with families, and we found that it was an incredibly intimate experience to write lullabies online. We're peering into their homes, they're peering into ours. There's this very strong and immediate connection and intimacy through the digital space. And so our musicians were working one-on-one with families online via Zoom through the similar process that we would in person. It really did translate to the online space well. And then families would still receive a tangible recording of their song post their session. There were also really rich opportunities for us to dig deeper in the work online. So you'll hear from Denny, but in Philadelphia, we were able to really extend lullaby into an 8 to 10 week experience with a group of families. So thinking about lullaby as an embedded strategy, along with musical play and home activities that parents could explore during the pandemic. And it was very, very powerful.
Do you think it was more urgently needed because of the lockdown? Do you think it became more effective?
I think so. You know, we talk a lot about the isolation that stemmed from the pandemic, and this was an opportunity for families to feel more connected with one another, to connect with musicians, to hear stories, to hear these songs. There was a real sense of forming these connections across boundaries and between families tuning in from different locations as well, which is really, really wonderful. I think also there was the opportunity to work with new partnerships that we hadn't been able to before prior to the pandemic. So it really allowed us to open the door and expand who we were able to reach through this digital means. So exploring new partnerships, exploring ways to make this more accessible to a wider group of families. And, you know, we heard different stories from partners, the challenges that they were experiencing in terms of just navigating the health space during the pandemic. We had a lot of healthcare providers who were coming to us just thinking about ways to support their community. particularly for women who could not have significant others, partners, in the room while they were giving birth. Just the isolation was quite high, and many folks were reporting higher levels of postpartum depression, higher levels of stress, higher levels of isolation. And so the Lullaby Project was definitely called upon to help mitigate some of those experiences. And I'll just share one amazing experience, which was definitely a new one for us. But we had a nurse who had been a part of the Lullaby Project, had seen the impact that songwriting had had on the mothers in the clinic. She was reassigned to a COVID unit and had reached out to us and said, "I really saw the impact that songwriting had on these mothers. I'm going through a lot right now supporting our community through this pandemic. Could I write a lullaby on behalf of the patients? Could I write a lullaby to help myself, to heal myself, to support my own well-being?" And she really stepped up and wrote one of the most beautiful lullabies I have ever heard. It really brought us to tears, and it just spoke to the power that this program can have, not just for the women and the participants involved, but for the larger context, the communities in which we serve.
And for the healthcare staff themselves who are working with the women, obviously, that not just, that's, you know, that the mums, it's those who are working with them. Isn't that wonderful? So something unanticipated extra benefit coming out of the program. That's great to hear. So now we're adopting it in the NHS. I think this is the first time the Lullaby Project has come to the NHS, isn't it? Cheshire and Merseyside are first in that sense, although I know it's underway in down in London. Is that right? In other,
yes.
Is it with prisons in London? Is that right? Where it's already?
Yes. Through the Irene Taylor Trust in London.
Right. Fantastic. But what do you think is the potential for the NHS in adopting Lullaby? You know, how widely could it be adopted, do you think?
Well, Joe, the wonderful and powerful Joe, had approached us and really asked this idea, what role could Lullaby play in supporting this broader healthcare system in the UK through NHS? And it was well-timed in that we were asking very, very similar questions. You know, what would Lullaby look like if it were an embedded part of healthcare? What would it look like if we could socially prescribe Lullaby to all of the families that we are working with? And so as we were having conversations with the team at NHS, these questions were very present. And the time was ripe to really think about what this would look like in the context of NHS. And how we might pilot that to start, to really fuel that fire, to really dig into what this could look like long term. And so we were very excited to think about these questions with the NHS team, and we continue to explore what this could look like. As Catherine McLennan mentioned, right, there's a lot of possibility in this work through NHS, and I think we're really at the beginning stages of exploring what this could look like.
Fabulous. Well, thank you, Tiffany, to you and all your team. And thank you for joining us again in the webinar as well.
And you can hear the second half of this event in our next podcast, when the mums and musicians talk about the experience of creating lullabies together. And we hear some of their music. We find out how the impact of this creative activity on health and well-being is evaluated. Check out the podcast page for links and more information. And thank you for listening.
We named you Boof inside my tummy. 9 months becoming your mommy. A difficult start, you first were deaf. Always a fighter, a hostage. And smile lights up the room. Joy for all just watching you bloom. Don't let others dampen your spark. I will keep you safe in the dark. Please hold me tight.